Ute agua e japsame, tu palavatora, utawe nokata, itom nasua, nasua guerrero nasua, puchuku huakame, huyanasuku, niet ahu une, itom nawi, tu palavatora, ojem bakta, Dios en choco.
Malinali.
Wicco Brigade. Our program is named after and inspired by the warrior known as Crazy Horse, the legendary Akichita of the Oglala Lakota Nation. His real name was Preshunka Wicco, which translates to "his horse is enchanted" rather than "crazy horse." We are a brigade as we stand for resistance and freedom and aim to deconstruct colonialism and demystify the concept of America. We think we provide a unique look at the hemisphere we occupy from the rarely heard perspective of the original peoples and their struggle.
We are getting ready to do the TWB pre-election analysis show, and we will be bringing you our views and our slants and our rants and commentary starting today and moving right in through till tomorrow, when we predict a landslide victory for Senator Obama. And we hope that that would put an end to the what we view as very racist and biased Republican era.
I just wanted to add this before you start listening to our thoughts on the presidential election and other elections too, but what matters this time is mostly the presidential election, is that I wanted to make it clear that we don't believe that the governments of the colonial nations that have been forced upon the indigenous people on indigenous land in this continent that they call America. We see the big picture, and so the importance of any elections in this states is irrelevant, really, for the reality of the indigenous people under siege. So with that caveat, we still want to talk about what that country up there is doing, because it affects the whole world. And there's been so much destruction, so much killing of innocent people in the last 8 years, especially the whole history of the United States, but in the last 8 years, especially on our Muslim sisters and brothers and children and elders, and the history the history that has been destroyed. Our heritage has been destroyed by these people. And that path of death and destruction will not be erased, no matter who is in the White House. We just hope that it's somebody who can take a different direction, a really new direction. And why not hope, you know? What's left?
I agree 100%. The big picture is that no matter who's in that, in the honky's house, whether they're black or white or shades of blends, creeds, colors, etc., the colonial construct is something that we have to deal with and live with, the legacy of that, which is in and of itself destructive. As Obama was talking about starting off in a new direction and really bringing in a concept of change, in the same sentence he breathes killing bin Laden. And this is an indigenous person. I mean, there's no evidence whatsoever to link anybody except the people in the United States' highest office, levels of office, who had knowledge that there was something up, because they were getting the mail.
And there's also the fact that there's more and more evidence that who was responsible for the 9/11 quote attacks, end of quote, is the U.S. government, Bush and his macabre posse. So I'm pretty sure that's the case. But if that's proven, then why the whole idea of killing bin Laden and fighting in Afghanistan is for what? You know? They're not responsible.
Exactly. The whole idea of going after to kill somebody, when you know who the crooks are, they're right there in the United States. They're talking about killing Michelle Obama, they're talking about killing Hugo Chavez, Bin Laden, you know, the bad guys, as you know, they like to toss around when they aren't. Yeah, the involvement with Bhutto. Even the talk of, you know, Obama himself, you know, the Hillary Clinton brought up the A word. This whole idea of killing people of color by the people in power, which tends to be the people who are white, has to be looked at. That's one of the main changes that has to happen in that country. And there's enough killing of us people of color every time something goes haywire. You have Rosewood, you know, the white townships are failing. You know, which is a good point. You know, we're talking about financial crisis. Back in the Depression, there was a town down in the southern part of the country named Rosewood, which was all black, 100% black. And what happened was the nearby white towns were jealous because they had squandered their money and they lived recklessly, and so they had no more money. And so what they did is they sent in a white woman with the convenient excuse that she was brutalized and raped and violated by a black man. And she went out and screamed, you know, I've been raped by a black man. Which gave license for that white townships and all the other white townships in the state. I think it was in Georgia somewhere, but I could be wrong. It doesn't matter. It's Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. It's all the same thinking. They went to the Rosewood and burned the town down. And here, this was the town during the Depression, 1929. So, you know, and we have the same scenario in so many different ways and so many other props, you know. We have in the state of Washington, for example, we have smoke shops using the the law which was created making federal land tax exempt. These words were just pasted together and put down on pieces of paper with the idea that they never thought that these words would ever be read or even understood by the indigenous populations. And in the 1960s, somebody actually read, and his name is Hank Adams, Assiniboine Quinault brother, who was very smart, read the words in the treaty, Medicine Creek Treaty, and saw those two words, tax exempt, and came up with this idea of making the, it's in other words, people, it's called an enterprise zone, where you have tax exemption and you have federal dollars that can be contracted to build businesses. And instead of doing that, since they didn't have any programs like that back in the 60s, they started off with cigarettes. Well, first it was fish. And mind you, the state of Washington was, you know, doing everything in its power to undermine this enterprise. So when they couldn't stop them from fishing because of the law or the treaty, then they went to the fish buyers and told them to drop their prices to ridiculously low prices. At the same time, they increased. Now, this is the United States at work, and you can take this example and extrapolate it to understand what's going on in the financial crisis. I don't think there is a crisis, by the way. It's just that you people that are white and the ones that have played ball with you, the so-called affluent, meaning the robber barons, ain't got no extra cash to go fly around in your bimbos and go to all your vacations with all your, you know, families. And like Senator Stevens got caught, you know, building up, taking the $250,000. I mean, he got convicted on that, but how many other $250,000, you know, cash prizes has he gotten that we don't even know about? He ain't admitting to that, but he was using that money that he conveniently. This is the integrity of the man. He blames his wife, who was managing the $250,000 to build up their summer home, as if only his wife is going to stay there, right? So that kind of thinking. The state of Washington officials, led by the Fish and Game Department, goes to the fish buyers and tells them to drop their prices. At the same time, they turn around and increase the licenses for the inland harbors in the Puget Sound area. And that licenses for commercial fishing tripled and quadrupled. So they had like 5,000 commercial fishing licenses in one particular season, and the fisheries habitat can't even sustain 1,500, you know, commercial. And this is all with the idea of getting back an Indian fishing industry market, whom the state of Washington was saying was undermining and causing the depletion of salmon run and hurting the industry in that area of a $1 billion restaurant business in the restaurant and the fishing cuisine area, when all of that is just bullshit. So this is the kind of mentality we're dealing with here, in which, you know, all these people on Wall Street and all these you know, and they're connected to people like, you know, senators and congressmen and so on, the deregulation of the regulatory statutes was handled right out of the executive office. The Treasury Department is part of the executive body. So that means Paulson's boss is the president. And so these were the people that were deregulating with the idea that they knew that those people on Wall Street were going to be becoming more reckless and more careless. That's what created this so-called financial crisis. And then we have the revelation by Alan Greenspan, who comes along and says, oops, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. That's a cover-up. That's not no mistake. This is supposed to be reputedly at one time one of the smartest men in America. You guys wrote the article. Now you're having the smartest man in the world come forward when he's an old man and senile saying, oh, you made a mistake. So the whole idea of chicanery and, you know, dealing off the bottom of the deck and, you know, those kinds of things is alive and well as we speak. And what's going to happen is these people are going to have to be brought to justice. Because these are the ones that have went around, you know, calling for the blood of Bin Laden. You know, now we got Obama saying that, and he's offering. On one hand, he's saying we're going to have change we can believe in. On the other hand, he's calling for the head of a man that he don't even that has not ever, has never been connected to anything other than maybe an omission. In a some sort of a videotape that we don't even know who made the videotape. So, and we don't know. We'll never know. The only thing we do know, what we do know, is that Bin Laden was trained by the CIA to fight the Russians. We know that, just like Saddam Hussein was trained by the CIA, was on their payroll. And we also know that Israel and the U.S. and some of these people were selling arms to Iran, to Iraq, to, you know, the PLO, to any group over there. So all of these kind of double dealings in what they call the Cold War, you know, all these kinds of things, That's what has led us to this point, you know, where somebody like George Bush can sneak into office. And mind you, he didn't just sneak into office. By the words of people, common, ordinary American people and others who have this, what they call the liberal anxiety, they were talking about it the other day in NYT, they're afraid because they're going to have another election stolen. Those simple words, election stolen. Election stolen means there was a crime committed. Why aren't you, and I still repeat my same statement that I made back in 2000, 2001, why isn't American people out in the street burning everything down and rioting and doing what Thomas Jefferson said what they needed to do, which is revolution? Because there was a coup in the U.S. Not once, but twice. And am I the only one? Is TWB the only one that ever saw this? So something has to happen. Heads have got to roll, which we read one of our favorite, you know, people that we like to read, Maureen Dowd. He said, and one of her articles, the very last sentence was, heads have got to roll. That's right. You know, starting with John McCain's head. You know, what other candidate in history has picked a nincompoop like Sarah Palin to run as the vice president of the United States? She has no resume at all whatsoever. This is the class idiot. The class idiot, and yet she's on all these television talk shows. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on her in the face of a so-called economic crisis. You know, around the world, people are saying, you know, our economy is toes up. And here this individual is going around, you know, getting makeovers for $150,000. These are the kinds of I don't even know what you call those, criminal acts that have got to be brought to a halt. Talk about pork barrel spending. I mean, we talk about spending $1 billion, $10 billion every week on a war that we're not supposed to be in. I consider that a hell of a lot of pork. And it's disguised under this idea of war. I mean, even Obama's is caught up in it, saying, "Well, we got the end of the war in Iraq." He voted against the war, but then he turns around and uses the same language. So it's infectious. It's insidious. This whole idea of the war on terror.
I think he's saying what he needs to say.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope that he's saying what he needs to say, because if he's if he's not just playing the wordsmithing game, then we're going to see another 4 years of the same kind of stuff that we've seen now, and watered down a little bit. On one hand, we feel really, really good because, you know, you know, we know a lot of people of color. You know, we're people of color ourselves, you know. In some cases, you know, some of us were raised by African, what they call American people and stuff. And we have a little bit more than just the idea that we're also people of color, indigenous. When some of us have, you know, our early upbringing is influenced by the culture that's African American. And then the fabric, a lot of the things that have been, at least over the last few years, have been heavily influenced by, you know, the industry of hip-hop, even the so-called phenomenon that the media calls gangster rap and all that stuff, you know. It's life in a non-white area, you know, the hood. But you have to keep in perspective everything, because while they're talking about life being bad in the cities and stuff, you know, we still have reservations up there. If they think life is bad in the hood, then go to a reservation and check out how life really is out there in the hood, you know.
There's no hood.
So, you know, we're talking about a reality check up there. And if Obama means change that we can believe in, I'd like to see some of those changes come down, where they do away with the reservation system. They elevate the tribes to a status of cabinet level, in which they have their own, you know, delegations in a parallel system that meets regularly with the U.S. System. They do away with the powers of the FBI, at least, you know, return the FBI to their own people. You know, they can do reigns of terror in their own neighborhoods. Not that we're saying that we want that, but you know, they have never done any investigation, you know, of anything that happened back in Pine Ridge, you know. And if Obama's, you know, using the eloquence that he's been known for and using words like unforgiving wilderness, we are the unforgiving wilderness. It is indigenous people who are not willing to be so forgiving, because these people were invading the land. It didn't matter what culture they were. An invader is an invader. So now they're occupiers. And the occupation has gotten pretty steamy for them, for the people who are occupying, because now they ain't got no money. Well, they got money, they just can't get to it. I don't really care about that, because when they say that they don't have any money, just remember on the reservation that I come from, Pine Ridge, it's the poorest county of the nation, where unemployment is in the 90s, almost 100% unemployment.
For a lot of so-called Americans, the reservations are like a different planet, a different universe. They have no idea what's out there. They don't know that they were the models upon which the concentration camps were built and organized, and also the models for when the Japanese citizens were put in internment camps. So these places are designed to exterminate a people. And they're still in existence, and they're working. This is the other reality that you rarely hear about.
Exactly. The other reality is actually the real reality of America, because it's on literally the blood and bones and bodies, not just that wounded knee. That's the one that's been most celebrated. The travesty there is not only the massacre, but the 32 Congressional Medal of Honors they gave for shooting down unarmed people. These are the heroes. These are the ones that are, you know, and another critical outlook on the war. These are the guys that are in Iraq shooting down innocent Iraqis, you know, breaking down their homes and stopping them and frisking them, you know, and searching them. You know, violating the religious beliefs, not just the fact that they're there, violating the sanctity and the sovereignty of those people. And turn that country into a whole abysmal chaos, and then they turn around and say, McCain turns around and says, "Oh, we can't leave in defeat. You wasn't supposed to be there in the first place, you idiot."
What does a victory mean anyway?
What does he mean? You know, Obama's got to get out of that. He's got to change that language. You know, he can't play ball with the Clintons.
Really? I mean, militarily. Just get close to me. What does a victory mean in this case? What is a victory? Can you define it?
Well, not according to the U.S. I can't. I mean, I thought the George Bush flew in on the good ship Lollipop and declared the mission accomplished. McCain was talking about the surge as if that did something, even over and above General Petraeus, who was saying the very opposite. And as we speak right now, there's been bombs bursting all over the place in that region. I mean, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, today in Iraq, there's bombs bursting everywhere. The militia is the Mahdi militia now is holding court down in Basra again, Basra.
But of those hits, also I doubt and I wonder if any of them were engineered by the U.S. government or the Mossad.
Well, and a meta analysis probably. But when you consider, if you back up, take one giant step backwards, you'd have to. We're not supposed to be there in the first place. So everything that happens after we're not supposed to be there is a crime.
Yeah.
You know, every U.S. soldier that was killed there it was accomplice, but there was also victimized for being sent there in the first place by the President of the United States. And the Secretary of State and all the rest of them. Everybody that stood up and said, you know, hollering, going to war, you know. They should have put them, all them old white guys on the bus and sent them over there if they want to, you know, find out what they're meant to. Because the guys on the other side that they call the Mujahideen are old guys too. And I like to see the Congress of the United States send all this 500 people that are calling for war for everybody to fight 500 Mujahideen mullahs and see who comes out winning. Now, I'll put my money on the mullahs and the Mujahideen. I'll take 500 Afghan warriors and go against the 500 congressmen any day of the week. I'll take 500, you know, sisters. But these are the ones that are going around creating all this havoc. Over what? Because we can't say that they had intel. We can't use the word faulty intel. There is no intelligence in operation up there to begin with. So if there's nobody there with a brain on their head, a shoulder, anybody with any wavels, any spine up there, and they're saying they got faulty intel when there's blithering idiots up there. And I want to hear the queen of soothsaying, you know, Condoleezza Rice talking about mushroom clouds in her living room and all that stuff, you know. Yeah, somebody should go show her a mushroom, see, ask her if that's what she's talking about, you know, because I don't even know how to describe her. And by the way, you know, she's going back to the Bay Area, you know, and she's going to hide out with the San Francisco 49ers, so good luck, you know. Maybe she'll have mushroom clouds going off in the stadium. These people should not get away.
No.
They shouldn't be hiding in all these hide redoubts all over the world. You know, where's Wolfowitz at, you know? Where's some of these guys that, you know, the so-called neocons, where are they, you know? We know where some of them are because they're hiding right in plain view. But these guys should be brought back in front of the people if there's really change and asked a few questions.
No, I just wanted to mention about the financial crisis. I just thought of a hidden purpose for it other than the rearrangement of where the money is up there. It's probably all the same people anyway. But it's to break down, this is something you have mentioned before, Wembley, break down the other economies, the weaker economies, the developing economies, and have them depend again on the IMF and the World Bank. So the United States is again having everybody by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though their economy went weak, but now this is a way to still have power over us, over the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. An economic coup. I think the latest bailout was in the Japanese market of the yen, which was a nemesis to the U.S. dollar because the financial world capital was moved from New York to Tokyo last year or year before. So
even Britain is asking for money from the IMF.
Yeah, so a lot of these economies are, you know, been brought down to beggars banquets, and which symbol? What symbol is at the top again? The U.S. dollar. So we don't know. I mean, all of this is intrigue, a speculation. It's food for thought. But TWB, it really hasn't been wrong very many times. We called it right. We called it right in terms of the war. We called it right in terms of every little tick, every little. Even though we haven't been on the air for quite a while, we went throughout the hemisphere traveling and taking the indigenous framework to many different places. We were down here when we witnessed Bolivia going through the. While all this stuff was going on right before the election really heated up here and the financial crisis started, right before this, Bolivia was under attack from the minority population in a sector which had ties to the United States. In Venezuela, we had the media industry. The media industry throughout the Latin American countries, and I venture to say around the world, is controlled by the U.S. And it is the U.S. that maintains a tight grip on how a country, you know, rises and falls, whether it has prosperous times or not. And almost every time a country breaks away from the dictatorship of the North, and they use democratic principles, and they elect their own people. In the case of Bolivia, they elected by majority, which happens to be a country that's, the majority is indigenous. Evo Morales, the first indigenous president in that kind of a system ever. And what does the U.S. do? They back the private, they call it the private sector. These are the people that are committing treason against their own country, and they're getting backing. As a matter of fact, the Bolivian people consulate or the president dismissed the U.S. ambassador for holding meetings with the so-called private sector of these states, and I can't remember the governor's name. He conveniently dropped out of sight, you know, probably flown to Washington and wined and dined for succeeding and building sedition and calling for, you know, the overthrow of Evo Morales openly. And the U.S. was behind that. This is supposedly right in the midst of the Iraq War. There was all the stuff that's going on now, and it was right just before this so-called financial crisis. So we've watched, you know, this closely, and we have been in touch with some of the people as they travel throughout. And we happen to be always at the crossroads. TWB is always at the crossroads of indigenous thought, indigenous movement, indigenous ideas, because we are indigenous. We don't go around saying we're Indian, you know, that using the I word, which is a scathing. We're not saying we're Redskins. We're not saying any of those things. We're saying we're an indigenous people. And we're always right where the thought is, you know, where the movement is. And the people, they find us. We don't have to try to find them. They hear about us or they know about us and they come look for us.
Indigenous people have had the ability to communicate through stories, through ceremonies, and through recording of their events for thousands and thousands of years. Some of those are in the form of what they call art. It might be some kind of a structure. Could be something as real simple as a story being told. But one of the things that I found is that Native people or indigenous populations had a way of recording.